It'll be a grand and glorious day. If you have your Bibles with you this morning and you'd like to turn with us to just a few verses of Scripture, if you turn with us to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7, the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 in verse 36. I guess as long as I've been preaching or as long as I've been in church all of my life, I've never heard these verses preached. I've never heard anyone ever preach these verses, and I've looked over them a lot of times. And a lot of times I've glossed over them and never giving them much thought. As I began to think about the service that we would have today and the Lord's Supper service, I kept expecting the Lord to give me scriptures about the Lord's Supper. I really honestly thought that that's what the Lord would give us. And as we sat around just about all week, we would study things and we would try to get our minds prepared for that, and it never did come. But these verses came to us, and I believe if God will be our helper this morning, He has a reason for us to preach these verses of Scripture or use these verses of Scripture. If I could title this morning, and I don't usually tell you until after I read the verses, but if I could tell you the title this morning, it would be Sacrifice. These verses of Scripture, if you'll just take just a few moments as we read them this morning, and you'll just, in your mind's eye, if you'll just take this scene and you'll just set it up, I believe it will mean a little bit more to you. So if you will this morning, while you're reading it, I want you to just picture this happening in your mind. You just take a few moments, and if you don't do it today during this worship service, I want you to take these Scriptures sometime this week, and I want you to sit down with them, and I want you to just think about what's taking place in these verses of Scripture. It says in the 36th verse of the seventh chapter of the book of Luke, "And one of the Pharisees desired him, Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And as I told you before we read this, our sermon title this morning would be Sacrifice. And I want you to just imagine this morning this lady hearing about Jesus coming to a Pharisee's house. But I want to tell you why that I believe this Pharisee had Jesus come to his house. Well, I have this little title that I give Pharisees, and I call what they do Phariseeism. Phariseeism is a very bad thing that has taken a hold of these people in the Bible, and it takes place in people today. They have this mind of Christ. They have an ability to understand a few things. They have ability to understand the law that they had been given, that they thought that they were supposed to keep. They believed that the law could save them, yet they had the prophet Jesus Christ before them, and they would not believe Him. But these Pharisees, they had heard and they had seen these many miracles that Jesus had been doing. They had heard all of the things that had been taking place since Jesus was born and on through time as He began to perform miracles and began to work in people's lives. They'd heard all of these things about how great that He was and how that He called Himself the Son of God. They knew all about what had been taking place, but they really wanted none of it. I've often said this about Pharisees: if they could, they would break an anvil with a rubber mallet. They never had the ability to completely just take what God had given them, the Son of God, and take it and understand that He truly was who that He said that He is, no matter what He did or how much that He tried to explain to them that He was the Son of God. They never took it. Although some believed. But Simon, and it doesn't say who Simon. Simon in this time period would have probably been a very common name. But he says Simon the Pharisee. Don't believe it was Simon Peter. Simon Peter was his disciple. But I believe that it was just Simon. Simon heard about Jesus and he said, "You come to my house and we'll have dinner." And I guess there was probably an ulterior motive to why this Pharisee wanted Jesus to come to his house. No doubt he wanted to look at him and he wanted to figure out everything he could about him so that he could attack his personality. He could attack who he was and who he said that he was. If he could have him over for dinner, maybe that he could find out he wasn't as great as he says that he is. Well, he was in for a shocker when this took place. It says he sat down to meet. And it says a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now I break this down this morning. This may be a different type of sermon than I typically preach, and that's okay. But I want to break this down for you this morning. I want you to realize, we've got a Pharisee, the most righteous they thought of themselves in the land. And on the other hand, we have a sinner woman who has come to this house also. Now, in this time period, when a person traveled, they didn't have a Honda Accords or any other mode of transportation. They didn't have cars to take them where they needed to go. So, they had to walk. Everywhere they went, they had to walk. Maybe they rode some animals. Maybe they had the ability to do that. But for the most part, traveling from your house to my house was a walk. So you can imagine they didn't have Johnson & Murphy dress shoes to go shuffling around this area in. So most of the time it would either been something very thin or light on their feet, or otherwise it would have been no shoes at all. So you can imagine when you get to their house, your feet would probably be very dirty. They wouldn't have been something you would have wanted tracked through your house, and I wouldn't have wanted them tracked through my house. So it was customary that they would have water so that the guests could wash their feet when they came to the house. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. I promise you, I'm not preaching a foot washing sermon this morning. I promise you, I'm not going down that route. But there's a reason behind this. But you take the Pharisee, and Jesus tells the Pharisee at the end of these scriptures, He says, "When I arrived, there was no water for my feet." I didn't have that luxury. The customary thing was not there. You didn't take care of your guests in a way that you should have. It was also customary when you greeted someone to greet them with a kiss. But there was no kiss that took place between Simon and Jesus. He didn't even give him the customary honor of that. He didn't even give him the ability to be able to take him and treat him as a guest. He was not a guest in this man's house. But there was a sinner woman there. Oh, and you know what? All through the Scriptures, Jesus loved sinners. Jesus loved sinners so much that He went to seek and to find those. And you know those Pharisees, they always wondered why the Son of God went after sinners and publicans rather than the righteous of that time. And you know what Jesus told them? He says, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't call the righteous unto repentance, but I came to call those that would heed the repentance message." And you know what a righteous person won't do? They'll never submit themselves to God. They'll never do that. They'll never get in a place in their life when they will realize that Jesus is all that they need. Boy, Simon didn't think that either. Simon wouldn't given him the ability, but you know, he sat him down at his dinner table. You know, the thing about Jesus was, He's the Son of God, so He's very aware of His surroundings. Well, He knew going to Simon's house, He knew He wasn't going as a guest.
He knew just exactly why he was going. He was going to be on trial before the trial. And if you look at the historical accounts of this, this happened a year before Jesus was crucified. There are other accounts of things similar to this in Matthew, Mark, and John. But they don't cover this exact application of this. There's many others. Many other scriptures that would seem to relate to this. But this is a separate time where Simon invited Jesus to his house. But I want to get to this alabaster box of ointment. Now, this alabaster box of ointment, an alabaster box would have been something stone in that time period. It would have been a very expensive stone. It would have been a stone that you probably wouldn't have wanted to have just given up for any old reason. If you come to my house, I probably don't have an alabaster box waiting on you. I probably don't have that to give you, but this sinner woman, why she had an alabaster box of ointment or perfume or something to wash Jesus' feet in or to clothe Jesus' feet in. But this alabaster box of ointment, if you read about how much that it would have cost, it would have been about a 300 denarii or a year's wage that she must have spent on this alabaster box of ointment. It would have been a very, very precious box of ointment. It would have been something that you and I would have taken very much pleasure in. It would have been something that you and I wouldn't have just given to anybody at any time. We had a funny conversation this last week. We were talking about fine china. And Mom has some up in a cabinet, and I looked at her and I said, "You know, why do you have that?" She said, "'Cause it's pretty." And I said, "Well, you've got plates and all these cups and all these things, and you never eat off of them." She said, "Well, they're for when important people come over." I said, "We've had them for a long time, and nobody's ever been important enough to come and eat off those dinner plates." I didn't understand the reasoning behind china. It still doesn't make sense to me. You maybe I have the reasoning for it, but I don't. But this lady, she took the very best that she had. It took her a year to get this. All of her wages had been spent so that she could have this. And Simon, the Pharisee, didn't even greet him with a holy kiss. Didn't even wash his feet. You know, his servants never even offered to do that for Jesus. There was nobody there to do that except one sinner woman with an alabaster box of ointment. Must have been beautiful, this situation that took place. Why, can you just imagine this whole time going over there? There's a difference in these two people. Simon had the prophet in his house to eat dinner. Simon had the ability to be something if he wanted to have been. But this sinner woman, why, she must have been the lowest of the low. The Pharisees wanted nothing to do with them. Why, if you were a sinner, they could have nothing to do with you. But I want you to realize today, I don't care if you're a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a missionary Baptist, any other denomination, we're all sinners saved. By the grace of God, if you've truly been saved, we're all sinners. The Pharisee didn't realize that he was still a sinner. But you want to know what this little lady did? Why, Jesus came in, and I can imagine her looking around just waiting for someone to wash his feet. It's customary. No water bowl, doesn't speak of one. I don't imagine it was around. But this lady, she gets down before Jesus. And the reason that I talk about sacrifice this morning is you just put yourself in this situation. Why, if Jesus were coming here today, we would all have on the best clothes. Why, we would have spent all day getting ready for Jesus to come. You ladies might have spent all morning getting your hair ready to come to church so that you could be with Jesus. Why, our clothes would have been pressed, the best that they've ever been pressed. They'd have been just the best that you had. But this sinner woman, the best that she had was her alabaster box of ointment. Jesus sets before her and she begins to weep. She begins to cry, no water bowl. But she begins to cry. She begins to weep. And you know what she does with those tears? She takes those tears and she begins to wash Jesus' feet. How I would give just anything to be able to just wash the feet of my Savior. And she got the opportunity to. She took the tears and she began to wash those feet of our dear Savior Jesus Christ. And she began to take her hair. You just think about taking the hair of her head and drying those feet. You talk about an act of love that day. She knew just exactly who was before her. She knew that the person before her was not just anybody. He wasn't just the dignitary of the town. He wasn't just the king or anything like that. She realized who was before her was Jesus. It's a beautiful picture. She begins to wipe those feet with her tears. I've never cried enough tears that I could wipe very much and get anything off. But she must have realized that she was sitting in the presence of an almighty Savior that would come to save her sins. She must have realized that. But she begins to take the hair of her head and wipe those feet. And then she takes the alabaster box and breaks it. And she takes the ointment or the perfume that was there. And she begins to anoint Jesus' feet with that year's wage that she'd spent. You just imagine if someone came to your house. Well, people have come to our house before and I've never offered them everything I've made in a year. I've never been that gracious to anyone. But this lady who probably had nothing gave everything for her Savior so that He might recognize her. What a great sacrifice that she had. It was one of the greatest sacrifices that she would ever make. She was going out on a ditch effort just to make one opportunity so that the Savior would recognize her. And you know what? I don't even believe she did it for that reason. You know what it took? It took humility. It took being humble to sit down in the floor and begin to wipe the dust off the Savior's feet, begin to dry those feet, and then anoint them with something precious. While we'd probably, if one of you ladies had that perfume today, while you might just spray just a little bit on if you're going out somewhere special, while it'd probably last your whole entire life. There are some ladies I know that buy perfume and they use one little spritz about every other year and they think that's enough. They don't use it because it costs so much to replace it. This lady wasn't worried about that. She was willing to give everything so that Jesus would have been sufficient for this guest. And the guest didn't even want him. He just wanted to ask all of these questions. I can just imagine him sitting around the dinner table. What makes you a prophet? What makes you so special? And then we get down to the point where she anoints his feet. And what does the Pharisee do? In his mind, he begins to think, if he knew, if this man were really a prophet, if he were really who that he says that he is, why he wouldn't let this sinner woman touch him? Why the prophet of the world wouldn't allow any sinners to be in his presence? But I am so thankful this morning that the Savior of this world allows sinners in his presence. And you know why? Because of a sacrifice. And we'll get there in just a few moments if God will help us. But you think about that this morning. And then Simon begins to question the Lord. Actually, in his mind, he asks these things. And you think about this. Jesus knew already what he was thinking. Jesus looks at Simon and he says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Or basically, Simon, I have something I want to tell you. I have something that I want to relay to you. And Jesus was very good with Pharisees. He always had that way of answering their questions in a way that they knew without a doubt that Jesus was who He said that He was. And they still doubted. Phariseeism's a hard thing to be with. I wouldn't want to be a Pharisee. And then he tells him this. You think about this. I think it's very important that you realize what Jesus told Simon. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will I love most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto thee, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, so he's talking to both of them now. He says, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest to me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but the woman hath anointed my feet with ointment.
Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. And I can just imagine that Pharisee sitting there just about as mad and as frumpy as a person has ever been. You've come into my home. There's a sinner woman here that has nothing to offer you. The Pharisee probably had a lot of money, had a lot of riches, had a lot of wealth, and no doubt he could have provided anything for Jesus that he wanted. No doubt. But this woman who gives you just a little bit of ointment, who gives you just a little bit, and he wasn't even worried about the thought process that went behind it. You want to know why this sinner woman did what she did? It was because she loved Jesus. It was because she recognized that He was who He was. And she loved Him for that. She recognized that only Him, only this man, could be the Savior of the world. And the Pharisee just pushed Him aside. And then what did he tell him? He says, who will love me the most? Those that I've forgiven most or those that I've forgiven least? Well, if I went down to the bank today and asked them, I said, will you just forgive me of my debts? They'd probably be like, no, not a chance that's ever going to happen. But I would forever be thankful if they would. But you want to know far greater than that, there's a debt that I owed that I could not pay. There was a murder that I would be responsible for, and there's no way that I could pay reparations for it. There's no way that I could be held responsible on my own because I didn't have anything that I could pay back. But then there was a man named Jesus. A man named Jesus who I came to be the Savior of the entire world. You think about that precious ointment. It was a precious commodity. Very expensive. Gold today is very expensive. There are things today, elements of this world, that people put a lot of prices on. A lot of things that if I went to buy them, I couldn't afford. But you think about the blood of Jesus. The most expensive, the most precious commodity that there ever has been was the blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ. It was not something that could be bought with money or possessions, but it is something that must be obtained through humble submission to God Himself. You want to know what He told her? He said, thy sins are forgiven thee. You want to know what she did there when she came before the Lord? She may never have spoken a word. She just wept and washed and wiped and dried and anointed. She did all of those things. But she did it in a manner that was humble toward God. You know what happens to a lost person when they get saved? They've humbled themselves before an Almighty God. They've repented of their sins. She realized that in the presence of God that she was a sinner. She had to have. He already knew who she was. Simon had told her enough times, well, she's a sinner. And yet He still forgave her sins. What a sacrifice. This lady sacrificed everything, probably more than she had. And she sacrificed it all for my Savior. And then my Savior in turn goes to a cross at Calvary. To a debt that He did not owe. Something He didn't have to pay. You know, He didn't have to do it. Didn't even have to even do it at all. Well, He could have just missed the cross and said, forget those people. I have no reason to want to redeem them back. But you know what He did? He went to the cross. He didn't just go in a way that you have to drag Him up there. He went willingly. He went to the cross in a way that this world could never deny, but they sure have tried all through the ages. He goes to the cross and He hangs there. Now this ointment was about 300 denarii, a year's wage. Brothers and sisters, a year's wage now is probably $100,000 or more nowadays for most people in the United States of America. Can you imagine somebody taking just everything they've got for one guest? But this lady was willing to do whatever it took to be in the presence of God. You want to know what people try to do today? They try to come to God with money. With their possessions, with things that they've done, with how good that they've been, all of the obedience things that you can think of, they try to bring those to God and say, look what I have to offer you. And you know what God says? Your righteousness is as a filthy rags.
you don't have anything to offer me. But you know what God has to offer the world? That is His blood that was shed on Calvary. You know the best thing, and I preached to you last week about the freeness of salvation. You want to know something? The gift is still available today. The blood that was shed at Calvary, it is still accessible to people today. It's still free. It's still available. The blood that flowed from Calvary's heel, it's still available to people. Now that alabaster box of ointment, it's been long gone. Jesus has done died. It's done went away, but that blood is still available for every person that will ever live. Now this church today at Mount Calvary, we set aside 2 days, 2 Sundays a year to celebrate or to commemorate or to memorialize Jesus and what He did at Calvary. The Scriptures always teach us, as often as you do this, as often as you come together as my church and partake of this ordinance, you do it in remembrance of me. As often as you take of my body and my blood, the sacrifice that I made for you, do it in remembrance of me. Brothers and sisters, we should never forget, never ever forget what Christ did for us. The greatest sacrifice this world has ever known took place on a hill at Calvary, the place of Golgotha, many, many years ago. Why it's not taking place today, why I'm not going to a cross to die for you, I couldn't pay for your sins. Oh, but Jesus could. And you know why this morning that we're able to offer this Lord's Supper in the way that we do? We believe that it's a church ordinance. And in order to be a member of God's church, you've got to be saved by God's grace. There will not be another way to access the Lord's church other than salvation. You've got to be saved and then baptized, and then you've got to be a part of God's church. Honey, He died for the sacrifices of the world. He died for this world and He died for this church. He sacrificed it all so that we would have the ability to have this church here today. He died so that you and I would not have to die on a cross or give sacrifices. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice all kinds of manner of things. Oh, they had burnt offerings and offerings that they had to give of incense and other things. But the sacrifice at Calvary, it took place for all of it. The ceremonial law was gone. No longer did you have to bring your sheep and your bulls and your goats and burn them before the priest. No, no. The only thing that it takes now is the blood being applied to your soul. You can take the alabaster box of ointment. You can take that and you can anoint the feet of everybody that there ever has been. You can do all of the works that you want to do. You can live the best life that you've ever lived. You can help the poor, help the needy, feed the sick. You can do all of those things. But without the blood being applied to your soul, it is all for naught. It won't never matter what you've done. God won't look at you and say, well, He's done a lot of good work, so we're going to grant Him access to heaven. What God looks for is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a blood that washes off. It's not like the doorpost there over when they began the Passover there in Exodus. There was no way that the blood could be gone. What happened was is that they had to be applied, and when they passed by, if it was passed by, there would be no harm done. My question today is to every single one of us, is the blood there? Isaiah says, come. Come at all ye. Come everybody. Those that are poor, those that are oppressed, come. He's not talking about the things of this world, not talking about worldly possessions. We're talking about a blood that will last for all eternity. It's been applied to my soul. I'm going to say this and I'm going to try to close this morning. You all that have been here very much at Mount Calvary know what I'm fixing to tell you about. But the greatest sacrifice that I've ever given, and it wasn't much of a sacrifice, was the night that the Lord saved my soul. I didn't have a burnt offering. I didn't have money. I didn't have good works. I didn't have any of those things. The only thing that I had to offer God was myself. And the moment that we become willing to offer ourselves to God for His service, for His life, God will save a soul. You know what that takes? That takes humility. The lady in the Bible that we've spoken of this morning, she came humble. I'm not one that's probably going to get down on the floor for very many people and do what she did. But she was willing to do that for the Savior. She was humble. She was a sinner, and she knew that, and he knew that as well. And he didn't care. He knew that she was in a place where she realized she was in the lowest form that she would be. You know what repentance is? It's a turning from your sin. It's a forgiveness. It's a sorrowful forgiveness of your sins that Jesus Christ grants by His grace. And you know what else she had? She had faith. She had faith. You may say, "Preacher, what do you mean she had faith?" Well, when she came that day, she came with an alabaster box of ointment. She didn't just get there and say, "Well, you know, I need to run back and grab that. I think I might need it." She came that day knowing that Jesus was going to be there. And she came with an earnest expectation that she was going to anoint those feet with that alabaster box of ointment, with what was in there, the precious thing that she'd saved up for. She had faith to realize that that was the Son of God. That was the prophet. That was the King of the world that they had been talking about. She realized that. No doubt this sinner woman of the city, she'd heard people talking all the time. "Well, you know, there's this man named Jesus. Have you heard about him? He's been going from town to town, and he's been doing this, and he's been doing that." You know, they even say that he calls himself the Son of God. And at some point, this lady believed with her heart, and her sins were forgiven. I believe, if you want my honest opinion, I believe when she came that day in that humble state, I believe she came believing that day, believing at His feet, and God forgave those sins. I believe that this morning. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself for me. Without it, we would be lost and bound for a devil's hell. But you want to know something this morning? As we take this Lord's Supper after a while, we're not taking His actual body and we're not taking His actual blood. What we're doing is we're doing something symbolic of what took place at Calvary. Jesus gave His body for us. He gave His blood for us. And today we're going to remember that. Paul says, do it in remembrance of Christ. Jesus said, as often as you do it in remembrance of Me. We do it twice a year here. Some people do it all the time. I'm going to say, as often as you do it, you better do it with a humble heart, realizing that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I'm thankful for those sacrifices that He made for me at Calvary. Brothers and sisters, it will last forever. What God does, He does forever. There's not one thing that can take the blood off of my soul. That was a sacrifice He made for me. It's been my greatest pleasure to be able to try to tell you about the sacrifice this morning. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand...